Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Scramble through our world-class golf courses or shop your way through the square. Be one with nature as you hike or bike through our parks and trails or hunker down at one of our breweries. And when it's time to eat, be sure to bite into our eclectic food scene. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Gonna try to fight the hands. There's the tap. Marvin Vettori's been waiting for it.
I just trained so hard, and this is my reward. You know, that's what I want. This is my life.
Marvin, the Italian dream.
Vettori!
Wow!
I don't know if you know, but I've been there before.
Arnold Almighty Allen!
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt, Sarah, and I. We're not sure how busy our show will be today. We're going to be starting in a couple of minutes with a friend of mine, a really, really solid, funny comedian, Nate Bargatze. He's got another Netflix special. I should know the name of it, but I'm a shit friend. But he's really funny, and he's a really good comic. And we also possibly...
You mean the greatest average American?
Yes, that is the name of it.
Now
yes.
Streaming on Netflix?
You're a better friend than I am to Nate, which really hurts me a lot. Marvin Vettori may be on. Fighting the main event this Saturday against Kevin Holland, who, say what you want about Kevin Holland, giant balls and what a work ethic to step in on 10 days notice against fucking Marvin Vettori after a decision loss. Very, very motivated to get back. And Arnold Allen, who's fighting Sadiq Youssef in the co-main event, will also be joining us, number 10 featherweight. You want to start with Nate, Matt? Is there anything you want to cover first? I don't want to.
No, man, let's dive right in.
Hey, Nate. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? Good to see y'all.
Nice to meet you, Nate.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Matt and Nate, you guys have never met. And Nate was on my show with Sam a couple days ago. I guess it was on Thursday you were on. And it's nicer doing this in the afternoon, isn't it? The mornings just fucking stink.
It's the worst, dude. I mean, you wake up and you're just like talking to people. You've been awake for 5 minutes and you're talking to thousands of people.
It's weird too, because like as comics, like we're just having which I like to just have a conversation with somebody, especially you, like a guy who I know. But isn't it weird when you go on to a radio show and they want you to do bits, or they want you to do like, hey, what do you want us to lead you into? I'm like, fucking nothing. I'm not going to do my act. It won't sound right.
It's always old school radio. Bob and Tom used to do that a lot. I think they still do it now, but like some of them still do it. It's almost like hopefully more people with podcasts have gotten a little better with being like, yeah, dude, I don't do my act.
Do you guys, can I ask you guys as comedians, do you ever feel that pressure, whether it's like we're talking about on a podcast or something, or even amongst friends or acquaintances, to be that dancing monkey? Like when you're not being, maybe you're a little quiet that day or something, you're like, people are like, yeah, what the, you're usually a funny guy. You ever get that? You ever get people expecting you to kind of make them laugh?
Yeah. I mean, no, they do. I mean, they expect you to be fun. They always ask my wife that. Like, they're like, you know, they think, oh, is it just like a awesome time every day? And you're like, no, dude, I still live a life. You get in fights. You have to go pick your kid up at school. You have to do like a bunch of regular stuff. And, you know, you're not just like this just fun time, you know, like you can be.
Or Chester all the time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to remove their expectations that I'm going to make them laugh after they see me live once. That normally ends any high hopes they had in our conversation. That goes out the fucking window. But yeah, you do get that, right? Like people, sometimes you're just quiet. like, and people like you said, what's the matter? It's like, no, nothing. I'm observing you. I'm watching this. Sometimes you just want to be quiet and just watch people live a little bit. Right. And just kind of soak it in.
When you're on stage, I mean, you always say like, it's an hour of just us alone. Like they're paying, you get no moments to yourself up there. Like if you're in a band, a drummer can go pee.
Yep.
No one even knows. But you're up there for an hour, 10 minutes, and it's just like everybody's staring at you. You know, like sometimes you could even like turn to the right just to like get a break, you know, just an ounce of a break. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure for a long time.
There's one thing too, Matt, that like this is the thing that I think there's no greater feeling for a comic than when you're on. And like I have a period in my act where I get my guy would be in the back and give me a light. Like when I know I got like, oh, I got 15 minutes left. Like when you know you're in the home stretch and yeah. Like, you survived it and like it's going OK and I know I'm going to be OK now until the end. Like there's no better feeling than that fucking light when I know I'm almost finished and I can just get off.
Especially if it's probably going not that great, right? It's almost like you're in like a life raft and you see some shore, like, oh, fuck, let me paddle that motherfucker.
Then too, yeah, in both cases, like when you're doing great, it's like, great, I know now the last 15 or 20 is very solid. Or when you're fucking having a tough time to know that like, all right, yeah, I'm almost out of here. I love that light.
You ever do it like when it's going bad, you end up going longer?
Yes.
Like it's almost you're like, yeah, you're going to suffer through more of this than normal.
Well, you try to salvage it. You're like, I know I was bombing. And the owner's like, why'd you do an hour and 40? Like, I don't know. I was just trying to get them back. Like, and then you get like a little laugh. You're like, okay, I'll do an extra 15. Like you're trying to almost put together a solid 30 in a row. And it's just, yeah, it doesn't happen.
Let me ask you guys. I'm always fascinated. I love meeting comedians. Because it's almost like when you meet like a fighter and it that career path, it could be iffy. So what does your parents think, Nate? Like when you're saying, all right, look, I'm going to go to become I want to be a comedian. Are they like, they want to throw something at you or are they like, go follow your dreams?
No, I was lucky. My dad's a magician. And
oh, shit.
Yeah. So he,
I don't know why that's funny, but that's fucking great.
No. Yeah, it is. It's him growing up, him doing that my whole life. And so, you know, I grew up with somewhat like, kind of a not normal, you know, he always had a day job. He was a teacher and stuff, but he's always done magic, still does magic. He opens for me on the road sometimes now.
Oh
wow.
So it's fun. And so he, him doing that, when I said I wanted to do this, I was lucky. They were very thrilled and they were willing to do whatever I talked them into giving me so much money for so many contests and so many, you know, I was like, I gotta do this contest that's gonna change my life. And none of them work, none of them matter. And you're just giving $300 to just dudes for 10 years and then none of it matters. But they were I got lucky and they were very supportive. But yeah, some parents are furious.
That's pretty, your dad's a magician. I didn't know your father was a magician either. Does he do like close up magic or like what does he do?
He does all comedy in his podcast, in his magic act. But yeah, sleight of hand, a lot of sleight of hand. And that's, I mean, he's right now, he's the president. There's the International Brotherhood of Magicians, IBM. And it's a large group. He's the president of that right now. So he's very, very respected and very known in the magic world. You know, magicians, there's like five famous ones.
Right, exactly. Holy shit. I mean, that's got to be way harder to make it as a fucking wizard. No, I'm looking as a magician.
Yeah.
Again, right? The fuck?
He was, when I was growing up, you know, I don't think I even understood it until I started doing comedy, like all the gigs, like all the bad gigs he was doing. You know, as a kid, you just don't know what your dad he does magic. It was normal. I thought everybody's dad did magic. I was like, it just assumed, you know what I know. I mean, and so, but then I realized now, like all the bad gigs I was doing coming up, you're like, oh, he was doing those gigs. He was going to wherever. And he would do some clubs because you'd run across magicians. I mean, a lot more people do magic now than they did, I feel like, back then. But it's, yeah, it was definitely, it's tough to do. It's tough to make a living out of. He was a clown at the very beginning when I was 5.
Oh, wow.
So he did a clown with his magic and then he just started doing magic, which I had one special called Full Time Magic. And it was, and I talked about that, like him becoming a magician full time.
Did he go to clown school? Because I knew a guy who went to clown school. Like it's a real thing. Like you got to be trained how to do that shit, or did he just do it?
No, he was just doing magic. So he didn't do that. Was like, that's like circus stuff, I think, where they, or Circus Olay or just regular circus. Yeah. Where the clown thing is our Ringling Brothers. Like you go work with them. That's like, cause those clowns are not, they're like, you know, it's like a show. Like it's, they're going in the crowd, they, how to interact with everybody or whatnot. He did when he was a clown, he wasn't a clown very long, but he, you know, he performed at my birthday parties or when I was five, we always had to have a clown. Cause it was, my parents afford entertainment. So it was like, yeah. And every kid wants him. Like every kid was excited except me. I'm watching him just try tricks out and that don't work at home. Like, I mean, I would say I can't do magic, but I can ruin it for you.
Yeah.
Ruined for me.
Now, do you ever have your father? Like, it must be, you guys know how to deal with hecklers. You said you had your father open for you before. Did you ever anybody ever like heckle your dad and you're in the back like this motherfucker?
No, I've been lucky that he started open for me when, you know, funny is one of the first colleges I ever did, he opened for me and I actually needed him because I didn't have enough time. So I was supposed to do like an hour. And I mean, I was like 5 years in or 4 years in. And I just didn't really have an hour. And so I was like, you got to go do like 40 minutes. But then he's been doing this for now 40 something years. And at that point, 25, 30 years. And I had to tell him, I was like, don't like, just kill me where I can't follow you. Like, don't be so good. Cause I mean, I'm like a new comic. That's like, and he's a professional. And then he cried when he brought me on stage. So I had to follow that.
Oh my God. That's really, it's kind of funny and sweet and awesome. Did you make fun of him or did you like, how did you do it?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, he doesn't introduce me anymore. Cause I know he's going to, you know, I mean, now he's in his 60s, so he's going to get kind of swelled up a little bit. And so now I cut it out. Cause yeah, I was like, that's harder than following someone doing good is like your dad getting emotional and you're like, all right, dad, like I still have to do a long time. So.
And you got to walk up and go, ladies and gentlemen, a hand for the pussy, a nice hand for the, but my dad would probably do the same thing. Like I get it. My dad's emotional too. So like, but it's funny though, in hindsight, it's really funny.
Yeah.
And it's obviously your dad's obviously a nice guy. Did you ever see Penn and Teller? I love Penn and Teller, and they do that Fool Us, that great show where they have magicians come on and try to fool Penn and Teller. And Penn and Teller normally know how they're doing the trick, but they won't ruin it. Penn will ask a question. So are you thinking of like that tells the magician, hey, I know what you're doing, but doesn't give away the trick. Have you watched that?
I have not seen it. My dad watches it. He has not been on it. I don't know if he would even really do it right now. I mean, he's been doing it so long. He's just kind of doing his own thing now, but he knows a lot of magicians that have gone on it and loves the show. And me and my dad went and saw Penn and Teller live once. And it's where they did a thing where you could walk on stage and look at one of the tricks. Like everybody could come up close to look at it before they did it. Which I thought was,
oh, wow. Yes. Yes.
They had like a box and you could go like everybody could inspect it. So like before the show, everybody's just before they go to their seats, it was like walk on stage, see the box. So they did a lot of cool stuff. And I feel like the big one with he catches the bullet in his teeth.
Yep.
That's the one that no one knows. My dad knows how everything's done and he'll usually tell me if I ask him. And you know, it's a big
catches the bullet with his teeth.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is he? Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon?
Yes.
Anybody? Yes. Anybody? Did you ever see The Last Dragon, Nate?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, listen, you're on Netflix. Maybe throw it in there when you get it. I mean, you could do worse on a Sunday afternoon than watch The Last Dragon. Because Bruce Leroy did that shit before any of these fucking magicians.
Yeah.
Yeah, he catches it in his teeth. It's a very famous old trick. I don't know how he does it either. I mean, I know Pam, I've never asked him. But the funny thing about them is their deconstruction of what they're doing. Like, it's almost like a comic walking on stage and go, all right, I'm going to give you a punchline and it's going to be about losing something in the washing machine and then going backward. Like, it's really, but it's still interesting. It still pays off even when they deconstruct it, which is really what is so fun about those guys.
Yeah, yeah. He did. Well, there's a bunch of different ways where the guys catch it, but they almost cannot figure out the way they're doing it. They're doing it a different way.
Oh, they are.
I believe so. And like, that's the thing is like, there's many ways to do a lot of tricks. And that's the thing with the magic world is like, you know, these people, all the magicians like buy tricks and like do each other's tricks and stuff like that. It's a very shared kind of community, not like stand-up, where stand-up's all about your own thing. Don't steal anybody else's act and all that kind of stuff. And magic is, I mean, acts get stolen, I mean, nonstop in magic. Jokes get stolen because jokes don't mean as much to them. Jokes are to getting them to the next.
Yeah. A little bridge or a little distraction or whatever.
Yeah. It's like a musician, like doing dumb jokes when he's, you know, in between. It's like they don't really have their own kind of thing, but they invent tricks and they sell tricks. That's a way they make money too, is you sell the rights to this trick and then someone can buy it and then go do it. But a lot of magicians will just do them. I mean, that's the problem they have in the magic world.
Well, you look at it and it's, I guess it depends, like stand-up too. Depends on how your act is. Like Penn and Teller have a type of an act that would be almost impossible to steal because you'd be like, that's Penn and Teller. It's so specific. I bet for magicians, it's a little harder to be so specific to your own self. Like those guys have are larger than life personalities and there's two of them and Penn talks and Teller. Like there's a whole lot of different things they can do. But as an individual magician, it's probably really fucking hard to take things and make them so unique to you that anybody else doing it would be obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. They, you got to have your own personality. You got to have your own thing. Like that's what my dad did do good with his act, is it's his own kind of thing. He did a big thing where he was like mean to kids. And so you do shows for kids and then bring them up and be very mean to them. And, you know, parents like loved it. And it was, you know, it comes from everybody can tell it's like, this guy's not just mean to these children. It's like, that's kind of the act. And that was something that he did. And it was very funny. He did a straitjacket routine. That was where he was like, I'm going to get out of this straitjacket, and he gets someone to help him. And we did a show a long time ago with Rich Voss, this guy, Michael Finney. I don't know if you know him, but and with a bunch of, it was like a golf celebrity event or something, but he would get like Dick Butkus or Johnny Bench to come up and help him do like get out of the straitjacket. And that's like the trick's not even getting out of the straitjacket. It's he's getting help. It's the comedy.
Sure. That
comes with having someone up there to help you do it.
I'm always amazed, Matt. Have you ever seen this? When a guy, and these sleight of hand guys are fucking amazing. Like where a guy will do something, he'll be like, let me fix this. And he winds up taking somebody's watch off. Like those are pretty common. The ability that they have to remove somebody's watch while they're talking to them on, and I literally have no idea how they do that, unless the guy is always a plant. But I have no idea how they get somebody's watch off without them knowing.
They can do it. It depends on the watch. The watch matters, so they have to choose the person correctly for the watch. Like my dad does that, and that person doesn't know. I mean, he takes it and then we'll show it to him. Like, I mean, he'll do a whole trick and they'll be up there for 5 minutes and the watch is gone in the first 40 seconds and they don't know for 5 minutes that their watch is gone in front of everybody. No one sees it. And it's, you know, it's just, I mean, I kind of know how they do it, but the watch matters a lot. So you got to pick. My dad brings a lot of people on. So he's got to go out and like kind of pick the person to bring on stage before the show. And the hard part now is like people, I've talked about him in my act. So they know my dad's a magician. And so when we don't announce him when I'm having him open, but when he comes out, I mean, he gets like a standing ovation, people lose it. And then he likes to walk in the crowd and pick someone before, but that's even getting a little bit harder because now if, you know, when you got your real fans there, yep, they've seen him. And so then they know like, hey, I mean, and I look like him. So they can kind of be like, oh, I bet that's his dad. And you know, my dad just wandering around. He just walks around the crowd, like, you know, the whole time.
Yeah. If my father walked through the crowd, people would start yelling, thanks for nothing. That's pretty cool though, man. Like, and I'm going to guess it's gotta be a clasp watch. Like it's gotta be a band, I'm guessing, and not one that you, but whatever, it's still, no matter how they do it, it is, or maybe I'm wrong. It's incredible that they do it. Like no matter what kind of watch they use, it's, the fact that it actually, if it ever works, it's amazing. The fact that it works most of the time is.
I think a Rolex is tough. Like those, yeah, like those, because you got to slip that off their whole hand.
Right, right. It's got to be one that leather buttons
that they can like just do and then just pull back and it's gone. I mean, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
What if it was a Swatch? You remember those fucking lemons? Anyway, it's the last thing I owned. Those fucking stupid ass Swatches. Hey, let me ask you. You had it in your routine, Nate, about you lasting one day in MMA training. I'm not asking you to do the bit, but you did some training?
So it was when I lived in New York. It was I forget the guy. This is over 10 years ago, and I signed up for a mixed martial arts class. I say I did it off of Groupon, and the idea of it was like I wanted to, you know, I want you to not be able to see my nipples through my shirt was the main. Yeah. And then they got me fighting some kid that was not raised by human people and then wants to fight for a living. Like we were just like, the goals were so different that I was like, this isn't my thing. It was like, you know, I was fighting like, you know, some kids that are like, I want to be a professional fighter. And then I'm just like a guy that's like, I'm just trying to get a little more in shape.
Yeah.
And when you're like, all right, dude, like this is, I'm not the holds and stuff. And then, you know, like I'm not the most, I like my space. Like I'm not the most like someone up on me. And I mean, that's an MMA is like, it is all just on you, yeah. Like just grabbing and grappling. And so I did it for a very brief minute. And the dude that trained us was great. I forget his name, but it was fun. I'm not. Yeah. I love MMA. I love UFC.
Oh, you do? I wasn't sure if you watched or not. Do you watch often or is it just the main fights or will you watch like whenever you can?
So here's what I think with UFC, what UFC does so good. I'm your typical, like my special is called The Greatest Average American. I always think I'm a very average American. I'm a guy I grew up watching in the South. College football was enormous, more than the NFL. And then we got the Titans in Tennessee. So then NFL became huge. I'm a big, big sports fan. And UFC is doing such a good job right now attracting me. People like me, I never watched MMA. I've heard of Royce Gracie when he would fight, you know, like George GSP. I missed all of GSP. I was like aware of him, but these fights were not, I wasn't aware that they were happening as often. And now UFC does such a good job to appeal to someone like me. They have a lot of main events. And they do big names. Connor was huge. Like Connor attracted a bunch of like people like me were like way into it. And we're like, all right, this is, and you're seeing that, like, I love greatness. And then, so when I found out about John Jones and someone's like, this guy is, you know, he's once in a lifetime and could be. Right. So like and I know GSP was that too, but I just wasn't like paying attention. It wasn't in my world yet.
Well, you know, yeah. GSP did lose occasionally. As a matter of fact,
Jimmy, don't embarrass me.
I mean, a good friend of mine, the last person to beat George St. Pierre is actually Matt. The last person to. I don't like to mention it.
Matt embarrassed me in front of my new friend. But Nate, seriously, if you ever want to catch up on some old GSP fights, I'll point you in the right direction.
I'll walk through, yes.
And I'll tell you the ones to avoid, too. Okay?
Yeah, there's one you should watch and one you might.
Yeah.
Watch them both.
Yeah. There's a good day in the office and a bad day in the office.
But you are right. They do a great job having the fights, so many main events, and so many of these fights are exciting, whether they're on ESPN Plus. And the fact that during the pandemic, they were doing it almost every weekend, they figured out how to manage COVID and how to keep everybody safe. And like, they really, I think, turned a lot of people into fans who might've been casual fans, but just missed sports. And were like, hey, this is pretty fucking good. You're like, I think they won a lot of people over doing that.
Well, it's not as like, you know, you get very nervous about, for me, like you're nervous about watching someone I can watch UFC. And even though I'm not on board with like a bunch of injuries, like you're kind of nervous that you're going to see stuff, but then yeah. The UFC, it does feel like you're like, I don't know. These guys are so good. A big part of it too is Dana White. Look, I've watched that dude. I watch his post conference. It's my favorite thing. I mean, I've never heard someone talk so frankly about what's happening. Right. He's like, I just talked to Khabib after the Conor fight, and Khabib said, Dana, these guys are not on my level. There's no reason for me to come back. Like he said that in the post conference. There's not, if I want to hear the NFL, Roger Goodell, like talk about something, he mentions nothing. If you want to know if Tom Brady's retiring, there's nothing you hear. You don't, it's like every post conference and every major sport is like NFL and that stuff. They say nothing. They don't say anything. Right. Dana and all those fighters just speak their mind, dude. They're calling people out. They say what they want, like that kind of stuff, that like transparency where you get to hear everything. And you're like, dude, I've never heard anybody in any sports be this open and honest about any of this stuff and let you know what's going on. And that's what kind of brought me into it now that I am way into it. I thought with like Usman. So like, you know, Usman last when he won recently, and he was like, show some respect on my name. I understood what that meant because I almost didn't get that Usman fight. I was like, no, he's really good, but he wasn't like, I didn't like appreciate him. And when he said that, and I did get the fight and I watched it. And when he said that, I was like, oh yeah. I was like, this dude is like nuts. It's nuts. Like, you know, and then, so it's like I don't know. These fights are just getting so good. And now I'm knowing who more and more people are. They market them very well. They let them talk, which is great. The women fights. I mean, there's not a sport I watch women sports. I can watch some LPGA golf. Like I like that, but I look for, you know, Ronda Rousey, also a big reason that you're into sport which is nuts. It's nuts that you could have women be like, oh, that's a big reason I'm here. Cause these fights were, I was like, I have to watch these fights. You know, I have to.
That's absolutely. It's funny too, because I don't watch a lot of women's sports. I don't watch a lot of any sports at this point other than UFC, but you're right. Like Amanda Nunes or Rose Namajunas or even Zhang Weili. Now, like I would watch their fight as much as any male fight. I would watch them fight. Like, you know, I like to hear the fact that the way you're saying that, Dana, you're right. It is so brutally honest. Sometimes it's like, yeah, that fight sucked. But it's like you always know that he's giving you his real feelings because he'll say stuff like that. And Goodell might be saying things that we like, but you can't hear it because everybody's booing him.
I love that. That's fucking reporting things of all time is when he walks out, they boo.
They hate him.
It's a great, great sport. And I look forward to the fights coming up. Like I look forward, you know, you got a great Khabib. I was like, I got into Khabib a little bit later, but I saw his last probably like four or five fights. And it was like, just to be appreciated like that dude, like to see him be like, oh, this dude's like, I mean, I love once in a lifetime. That's what John Jones, which I know with all his problems and stuff, but he's someone that like, you know, I didn't realize how good Daniel Cormier was until I saw Cormier fight. Was it Derek Lewis or Henry or someone?
Lewis, I think he submitted him in the second round, if I'm remembering.
So that was the first, I thought Daniel Cormier was like, I was like, this guy stink, dude. John Jones was like destroying him. And then he fought that kid or Derek, and then he submitted him. I was like, oh, it almost showed me how good John Jones is. Where you're like, Cormier is like unreal. And then Jones, you're like, well, that guy's on another world, dude. Like it's nuts how good this guy is.
And it's now they're talking. You're right, too, because Cormier is one of the best heavyweights ever. And he was a great light heavyweight. And now that he's retired and Jones moved up to heavyweight, he's possibly going to fight Francis Ngannou. I mean, where that's a fight that, I mean, I hope they make that. Because just two guys where you know that either one of these guys could drop the other guy with one shot. There's really nothing like a heavyweight fight in any sport. It's just two of the biggest guys in the room. So yeah, I'm really hoping they make that fight.
Yeah, I'll lose my mind if they have that fight. I mean, they do really good with the cards too. I think, I don't know the younger guys. I know like Sean O'Malley, yeah. Like, but he's like kind of a big, you know, character. And so you kind of hear about him, but Dana's doing really good too on the Instagram. He'll be like, here's some fights you need to know about. He like goes really good explaining it and gives you a reason. And so once you hear the backstories for someone like me, that's not, I'm way more into UFC. UFC is borderline my favorite sport right now. So I'm into it a lot more, but I got to figure out a way to get more into some of the names that I don't know. But Dana's, I think, does a really good, I mean, I don't know Dana, but like, I'm just saying he does a really good job of going through when it's a fight that you don't really know anybody. And he's going like, here's some people you need to know about. And Khabib's got some of his boys fighting too right now. So like you kind of recognize that name, you know, his brothers or something. And so then you're kind of like, be like, all right, let me watch this guy and stuff. But yeah, it's UFC's probably my favorite sport right now.
This Saturday it's a fight night and the main event is really great. We may have one of the guys, we're not sure if he's making it today, Marvin Vettori against Kevin Holland. Tremendous fight. Mike Perry is fighting on that card. Nina Ansaroff against Mackenzie Dern is a great fight. So this is, yeah, that fight's on this card. Every weekend they seem to have some incredible card. So yeah, you're right, buddy. And I'm happy to hear from somebody like how you're coming to be more of a fan. That's really cool to hear. So UFC is doing something right.
Doing the job, Matt. And I do know of you. And like, so it's like, you do know, it's like, but I do know, I mean, I have Luis J. Gomez as one of my best friends. So they were talking to me about UFC, but it's really good. I mean, with Rogan and all those guys, they talk about it too. The announcers, like, it gets explained in a much better way. Like, we have to have it explained. You know, I don't know the holds. I don't know what's happening. I don't know that kind of stuff, but it's, I think it gets explained. It, you know, you're not being talked down to like you're an idiot. It just explained a little bit easier. And then the calling people out, I mean, that's
always fun. Luis J. Gomez. I was going to ask, did he ever fight Jason Ellis, or that never happened?
I think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to
happen, right?
COVID probably messed it up. Yeah, I think so. And Jason had surgery or something.
Okay. I don't know if that was dead in the water, but I remember hearing about that. I offered to work with Luis, told him to come out to Long Island, but you know, I haven't heard from him, but you know, shit. You know, I just
want to like, one thing I like about you guys that fight, how great is it to walk around life knowing that no one can beat you up?
Well, I mean, I think you can't be. The average guy is not going to take you out. That type of thing.
You don't have
no pun intended, but the average American. Yeah.
If you see like the teenagers walking your way, you're not like nervous. You're like,
yeah, no, we'll strangle those little fuckers.
Yeah, that's got to feel so like that confident. Just like you don't, you can just walk around. If someone just hit you in the head with their fist without you knowing, you would be like, fine. Like, you would just be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to play the knockout game where I'm listening to my headphones in New York and get hit by you, sucker punched. But, you know, I know how to protect my chin and roll with that shit. And listen, Brazilian jiu-jitsu is what if you ever want to try an art again, that's what I recommend. It's the gentle art, yet it can be very brutal if you like it to be. And, you know, you're not getting really roughed up unless you're with a bad, you know, that your instructor pairs you up with some knucklehead. But I'll tell you right now, you could train hard every day and it gives you and without getting beat up or getting your, you know, brain damage or anything, you know what I mean? So it's a beautiful art, and I teach all walks of life. So if you ever want to try something again, try Brazilian jiu-jitsu, because you might not, the whole, you know, jumping into just an MMA class, you know, might be a little much sometimes, I feel.
Yeah, I get that. I could get it. I love golf. I'm a big golfer. And so golf is so specific, and there's so many little things you got to do to make everything right. And I'd imagine that's kind of like that art, where it's little, it's very little things that you have to combine to make it work. You know, it's like, it's very, you know, you're using your legs more here. And then, I don't know, it's like, it's not just, I don't know, it's a kind of a magical kind of thing.
It really is leverage, technique, timing, oversize and strength and explosiveness. So it really, I mean, Jimmy makes fun of me for my love of superheroes, but it really is like when you do enough jiu-jitsu, it's like developing a superpower where you could just handle another human being. And it's like, whoa, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I mean, I just love jiu-jitsu. So I like
trying to Horace Gracie used to fight bigger guys.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's made for the weaker person to defend themselves and overcome the stronger opponent.
Now, Matt, I hate to interrupt you. I apologize. We have to wrap up with Nate because Marvin Vettori is actually coming up. We weren't sure if Marvin was going to make it. He's he's half of the main event this Saturday. We didn't know if he was going to come, but he is actually here. So, Nate, the special on Netflix is called what is this called?
It's Average America.
And you're a really, really funny comic, man. And it's good talking to you. And I didn't know that about your dad, so it was really fun to learn that about your father. And where can people see your dates if they want to come out and check you out live?
Just my website, NateBargatze.com. They're all listed up on there.
Yeah, check Nate out, because I know you're working on a new hour, and it's kind of fun to watch somebody going through that process, because you hear a lot of stuff that winds up not making it in the special just because, you know, you go into another direction. So a lot of good material you hear in the beginning that you won't actually hear on the special. So good seeing you, buddy, and I'm really happy for you.
Nice to meet you, Nate.
Looking for a new home, or you want to save on your current mortgage? Visit rate.com and you could get massive savings with Guaranteed Rate, the official mortgage partner of the UFC. Rates are at a historic lows and you could land that dream home or refinance to potentially cut your current payments in about 15 minutes. Visit rate.com today to get started with Guaranteed Rate. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval. Savings, if any, vary based on a variety of factors. Restrictions apply. Company NMLS ID number 2611. NMLS Consumer Access.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal
and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hey, Marvin. How you doing,
What's
buddy?
What's up, Italian
How
Dream?
Are you?
Shit.
I'm good.
Matt was just saying, Marvin, like, we've been wanting you to fight. Anybody you fight's an exciting fight. But this fight, just as a fan, it really, as much as no disrespect to Darren Till, but this really worked out well as a fan because you guys have that. How psyched were you when you heard that Kevin might be available?
At this point, I was really ready to fight anybody, to be honest. Like, I'm in an incredible shape, and I would have fought anybody. But yeah, man, I mean, you know, I was excited to fight Darren Till, and Holland is not too bad either. You know, I think just going to go out there, put on another show that I'm on a different level, and that's it. Just do me, and that's going to be enough for me to smash this guy.
I'm sorry. You're fighting with Jack Hermanson. Was that a main event?
Yeah,
it was a main event. That's right. So this is your second time as a main event.
Yeah, and also so Hermanson was firstly supposed to fight Darren Till. Then basically Darren Till pulled out on that fight. Then Holland stepped in, and then I stepped in for Holland.
Was that a short notice fight?
Well, I was supposed to fight Jacare, and then I
That's right.
of a week, and I stepped in for Holland, and then Holland took my fight.
It's crazy that Holland is, because a lot of times guys, like, you know, they get a quick knockout, and then they'll take a fight, but he went five rounds, and to take a fight with you right after, I mean, it makes me respect Kevin more, because obviously you're an extremely difficult fight for anybody, and the fact that he's willing to take that shot after a five-round loss, I really do respect that.
Yeah, I respect that. Yeah, I have to respect that, you know. Even though I fucking smashed this guy, but I respect that.
Marvin's a psychopath. He's always laughing when he's talking about get out of somebody. Look at the Italian Dream. Fucking, now, Kevin Holland, did you see his last fight with Derek Brunson?
Yeah.
Talk to me.
I went off after that fight, and I'll stay by my word. That was not a nice fight. I mean, I was a little embarrassed in a sense because, you know, as a middleweight, I was embarrassed. I'm like, fuck, that's like kind of elite of my division. But, you know, at the same time, there we've seen some good stuff from both, and took away some things from both, and. And that's it. But I think still that there's a lot of holes on both games, Brunson's game and Kevin Holland's game. And that's it. But yeah, I mean, I saw that like, you know, Brunson was like, that's the thing. Like, look, a lot of times, right? And now I feel like now if fighters are watching this, I'm giving out free tips. But like a lot of people, when they go into a fight thinking, I always have my grappling advantage. I always have my wrestling advantage. They don't express the striking, and vice versa. And so you have to be able to mix them, but at the same time, not rely one on another, you know? And it's not easy. But, you know, that's one of the things that Brunson wasn't doing, because I think Brunson could have done a little bit better standing, but all he was thinking was, oh, I have the grappling advantage. And then once he realized that he could actually take him down very easily, then he just stuck to that and came out like a very boring fight in my eyes. But he got the win. And that's it, really. But with me, I'll just go out, do me. Like, you're never, you're not going to see a boring fight. That's what I'm going to say.
No. And you know, do you have any, when you go into something where you have like this kind of this backstory a little bit, where guys will have it once in a while, does it mean anything to you when you're going in there, like the way you feel about him personally, whether you have a dislike of him or whether you're indifferent to him, does that mean anything to you when you're walking in the fight?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I have that extra, you know, that I want to punch him in the face and it's great, you know, that extra motivation. But at the end of the day, it's all these things that you cannot rely on being an elite level athlete, because you, no matter what, the fact that you have to do your job and to just go out and win dominantly, it's enough for you to go out and do it. You shouldn't, but definitely, like, you know, the fact that he'll talk a lot, he'll talk shit, and I feel like the moment I'll see him and the moment, like, he'll say some stuff face to face, he'll really like give me that extra fire, you know. But for now, I'm just super focused on the fight, and I'm not thinking about the extra, to be honest.
Right. And I didn't think that helped him in the fight. Again, he's still a good fighter, but I didn't think that helped him in the last fight. That whole, like, I think that can work for you in a moment, but I thought it was almost it, at least from my outside point of view, it felt almost distracting and not helpful for focusing.
Listen, I always say this, right? Like, he doesn't just do it as a weapon to distract other people. He does it for himself too. He does it to, like, make the fight almost like more of a friendly game in a sense, and like take away some of the realness in a sense. And also, like, I feel like he does it also to keep himself present in a sense, and just like staying in the moment. Oh, I'm talking to the guy, you know, like, I'm actually talking to the guy. This is not such a crazy environment, and I'm just talking to the guy, you know. It's more of an easy situation, actually. That I'm trying to say what is going to his mind. That I feel that he's doing that also for himself.
What an interesting thought. You know what? That's really, you might be right about that. Like, as a way to almost, if I'm just playful, even though he's hitting hard and he's being hit hard, yeah, if I have this attitude, then there's less pressure because this is not as big a deal.
Easy up the situation throughout the fight, throughout the media, everything like that. He does it for himself too.
I'll tell you, style-wise, I like that your last fight going into this one, I like that your last fight was versus Jack Hermansson, because they're different, but very dangerous in similar areas, like very dangerous. Jack Hermansson is very dangerous on the floor, very dangerous. And he has good striking. Maybe the weakest area is wrestling. I mean, that, in that area, that might be similar to Kevin Holland, except he doesn't talk nearly as much.
Yeah, but I mean, Jack's wrestling, it's way superior than Kevin's wrestling.
Ooh, way superior, Jimmy. That's a subtle little dig there, man. Like, not.
Jack has some wrestling. The guy can grind.
He goes hard. Yeah. I'll tell you, listen, yeah. I mean, this is really such an opportunity for you, because your first time in a main event, you shined. You shined with a battle. That was a great fight. It was almost over. You almost took him out of there early. But when you didn't, you knew not to just keep that foot on the gas and burn yourself out, even though you were on his ass. But, you know, what a great experience. You shined in your first time as a main event. Your second time now as a main event, what a great dance partner. Because, I mean, when I first heard Darren Till fell out, I was like, fuck.
Darren Till, yeah.
And then when I found out it was Kevin Holland, I go, this might be even better. So this is your time. Marvin, is it your time? Is it time of the Italian dream? Is that what's happening?
It really is. It's the Italian dream. It is the Italian dream that is happening.
I love the nickname.
Now, you, I mean, you got to be, things have really, like, you were known before, obviously people knew who you were, but it seems like there's been, ever since that, you had that huge argument in the, that thing that went viral, there's a lot more people who are like, I want to see this guy. Isn't it weird how something like that can happen? Something that's not planned, like a spur of the moment thing that just kind of makes more people aware.
It is weird, but it actually not. It's entertainment, man. Like, people like, love this shit. Like, they do love it. And I mean, it wasn't planned. I always say that it wasn't planned, but it happened. And I mean, yeah. But then, you know, I think also people like that, you know, I'll talk the talk and I'll walk the walk. Like, you know, this guy's, you know, when I say this stuff, I really mean it. I don't just say for the moment. I was really pissed at her, Robertson that fucking time. He's like, you know, the first thing when they pull out, the first thing that goes into my mind is like, fuck, again. Like, I don't know. I feel so pissed because I train harder than these guys, because otherwise they would have to feel pissed too. And I'm like, fuck, like all this training, all this suffering, like all this, which I love in a sense, but it's grueling. I wanted to work for something. I wanted to, you know, to make it worth for something. And so when he pulled out that time, I was super pissed, especially the day off over like all the London, whatever. Yeah. So that then the Hermanson fight, took it on a week notice, still put on a great performance, you know? And so, I mean, I'm not just one of those guys that then when they go into the cage and they crumble.
Was there any other names? Because, and again, Kevin, I just checked as we were talking, March 20th was that 5-round fight. When you first heard his name, did you know that he was already going to be able to, or were they just saying, look, we might be able to, but he has to get cleared and all that stuff?
No, there was a couple of days of uncertainty, and I didn't really know why, because I'm like, well, he's the only option, really, because Brunson said he can't fight. I don't know. And I mean, I get it. Like 20 days, it's like 20 days after a fight. I mean, he should have just said that. I would have respected more. I guess he said something like, oh, my foot is hurt, or like I have a cut. I don't know. That's some bullshit to me, but I get it. I mean, you know, you have to make weight again and stuff, and it's not easy. But yeah, Kevin Holland was the only option, really. So they right away kind of told me, well, there is maybe you have Kevin Holland. And obviously I was bummed because I was really looking forward to Darren Till.
Yeah.
But then I was like, fuck it, let's do it. I mean, for sure.
And you're both young guys. Maybe you and Till will definitely get to meet again eventually, you know. Hey, Marvin, what are you watching lately? You watching anything new? I've been watching Warrior on fucking HBO Max, and I fucking love it. About San Francisco, Chinatown, in like 1878, gangs of fucking Chinese gangs with hatchets. And oh, it's fucking
really?
Oh, really? Shit.
I have to start watching it now. I haven't watched nothing really.
Give that. I mean, listen, it's a little kung fu-y, but it's very violent.
But I like it. I like those stuff.
Give that thing a shot. You too, Jimmy. So you've been watching anything? You've been reading anything? Or just besides training?
I've been reading again, like some of the stuff. I've been reading again, like I'm reading. I'm halfway through Art of War again. I'm just picking and choosing some of the stuff again, but just like I'm reading. I finished to read this book of Nietzsche.
What is that?
Nietzsche?
So Spoke Zarathustra.
What's that about?
It's philosophy, basically, but it's just, you know, he speaks about the superhuman, you know, the goal of humans is to be a super, like, but you never heard of Nietzsche?
I have, yeah, but I don't know. I know he was like, what was his big, there's a big, did he say God is dead, or is that the one who said that?
He's a nihilist. So he's just saying that, like, he's kind of like, yeah, it's hard to explain to put it together in a sentence, but yeah, he's that, like, he says that God, like, he's against, like, not against, he just says that, like, for him, he thinks that he doesn't exist. Yeah.
Atheist.
Okay.
Yeah. But
yeah,
a lot of other things, you know, it's just, in a lot of other, like, because you have a lot of books, right? And they just scrape the surface. You can just get like great ideas from them. But when you read philosophy, I think like these guys go really deep, and it's cool to read some of those stuff, you know?
Yeah, I've never actually read one, but I guess it hits you in a weird way, right? It hits you in a different way than something else you're looking at.
Yeah, it just, you're like, you know, a lot of like, I kind of like you, sometimes you read some books and you're like, yeah, fuck, that thing makes sense. Cause you can really like, you can apply to real life really quick in a sense. But then you read some of this stuff and you're like, fuck, that's why, like that's why you end up doing things like that way. And you feel that way about, like, it's just like, I don't know, they go deeper. And I mean, it's, I think it's a nice book, but
they go deep, man.
Do you read like self-help stuff? I've never read some of it, but like, you know, like Tony Robbins or any of that self-improvement, or do you not go down that way?
I read, like, my dad gave me a book. Like, so there's a guy in Italy that, I think he started like learning, like a lot of the things that he was saying, he learned from Tony Robbins. He's called Roberto Re. And I read one of his books when I was like 15 or so, but I never read after, not much of that.
Oh, shit.
And he was, yeah, it was cool though. I think it's a 14, 15, he shapes a little bit the way that helps you thinking, you know, and like shapes the way you want to channel the energy on some stuff more than others, I think.
What did your dad do? I don't know if we asked you that last time. Did he train as well, or what was his job?
Yeah, my dad is actually a real estate agent in Italy for a long time. He's been, you know, and he survived, man. He survived these crazy times, even like from 2012 and on. In Italy, it was super bad for the housing market. But so yeah, right. And then he was a martial artist teacher, but like, honestly, like just like more like playing, was like nothing too serious. But I was in the gym for like since an early age for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I kind of wish I had done that, but I didn't. I went the drugs route. I kind of wish I'd gone into the gym. I'd be in better shape at age 52 than I am right now. That's the way to go. Guys who start really young and just kind of fall in love with it.
Yeah. No, I think if I ever. Yeah, eventually I'll have a kid and I'll bring him to the gym early for sure, you know.
Now, Marvin, obviously you want to get to the belt. I mean, that's where you want to go. And you know that obviously Kevin has the same goal. And even though you're higher ranked, it's still a very exciting fight. Like, I think you're 6 yeah. and he's 10 and Darren was 5. So, I mean, it's all kind of very closely related. If you are able to have a decisive win here, let's say you have an exciting win. Where do you see your path after this?
Yeah, I'm straight up calling out Adesanya after this. And I'm focused on 100% of this fight. I always say, like, for me, the world ends April 10th for now. You know, I'm going to think about the after. But I mean, I think I deserve the title. These guys can't show up to fighting. I see it almost that way. As a fighter, your job is to show up before than fighting. And in real life, if you don't show up, you lose. And in this matter, you don't. But she really did. In a fight, if I'm right at your border trying to take over your land and you don't show up with your own army, I'm just taking over that land. I'm taking your spot. I'm taking where you are. That's a fight. If you're not there to fight for what you stand for and you were scheduled to fight, you didn't do your job. So said that, Costa pulled out for unknown reason. Cannonier hasn't been active. I mean, Darren Till just pulled out. The other guy that has that could have a saying, it's Whitaker, but we'll see. I mean, and then we have to see what happens April 17th too.
And before we let you go, Barry, too, what did you think of? Because it seems like Adesanya lost his last fight and his first fight actually, and Kevin lost both on the ground, both pretty much by guys who were able to take them down. Was that something that you were surprised at with Adesanya, or is that kind of how you would have seen a game plan against him working?
I know the guy is. I mean, to be honest, thought he would have improved a little bit by now, but he's still absolutely shit in the floor. And Matt, I know it made him smile when Adesanya said that he was trying to go for deep half. This guy doesn't even know what deep half is. What the fuck are you talking about? He did not try to go through deep half. I know exactly, because Verdum, it's a master of deep half. I know what deep half is. I actually used it. I used it with Hermanson, but then he defended wrong and I came up. I used it with Hermanson. So I know, I'm not talking shit. I know exactly what the deep half is. And he was saying that, bro, like he was just, like with John, he was just leaning laying down, like not even closing half guard. And you're telling me that you were trying to go to deep half?
He said that? He said he was trying to go to deep half?
Yeah, he said he was trying to go to deep half on the post-fight interview. He said it.
What is deep half?
I mean, you basically going under the leg of your opponent, and you basically hugging the leg of your opponent all the way. And then you have some stuff that you can go from there. But, you know, there is a way to go. I don't, it's hard to explain it now, but he did not go for it. He didn't go.
Verdum, if you want, Jim, you could watch some of Verdum's fights, and he does use that.
Yes.
It's like he brings the guy, he's in half guard, and he brings his head actually towards the crotch, and the guy's actually on top of him. He might take a hammer fist or something in the process, but you go one way, the other, and next thing you know, you're on top, like that. So,
and Verdum, yeah, he did it with Volkov too. I think he got his back, and right away, though, went to an armbar and then didn't finish the armbar.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, it's a beautiful way of being in a bad position and just switching it up, you know? And he's great at that. I lied. Yeah.
No, it's good to. It can work in MMA. It puts wrestler it gives wrestler a lot of problems.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Because even if they got great base, you're not sweeping them. They're starting on top. Next thing you know, it's like you starting with a tight single leg on them. Like, you know what I mean? On bottom. So it's a great move, man. That's awesome.
Well, yeah. So just to say that I thought it would have been a little bit improved, but I knew where the Sanya's grappling is really bad. But he has he has understanding of his hips. And if you go to the body lock, try to take him down from the body lock, he has a good understanding of his hips, and he's good at scrambling back up by the cage. But that's really it. Like jiu-jitsu, like plain jiu-jitsu, he does nothing. He's like really low level.
Well, you do it all, buddy. And I cannot wait.
Yes, you do.
I'm so looking for, and it's actually even better because there wasn't a fight last weekend. And now I'm even more. I can't wait to watch the Italian Dream versus Big Mouth. This is going to be fucking crazy. Yeah.
Thank you.
This Saturday. Yeah. Good luck, Marvin. It's always great talking to you, man. And this is a fight we are very much looking forward to. And Kevin Holland this Saturday night. Have a great fight.
Thank you, man. I'm going to deliver. Promise.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Did you realize you got a superhero name, Arnold Allen, kind of like Bruce Banner?
All I know is like 3 first names, Arnold Billy Allen. I think my mom and dad want me to get bullied at school or something.
Wait, you mean Arnold Billy Allen?
Yeah.
Now, who's Billy after?
I don't know.
No one in particular? And is Arnold after anyone or no?
Yeah, Schwarzenegger.
Oh, they named Jesse Schwarzenegger?
Yeah. My brother was going to be Sergio Oliver. We ended up being Jake.
That's right, because your father's name is it begins with a P? I don't.
Pacer,
and he's a bodybuilder, and he fought MMA. Or was that correct? He was a bodybuilder. He was a power lifter.
He was a strongman.
Strongman.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Being a strongman, like growing up with that, how do you practice that? Is it all weights, or do they practice like just pulling cars and lifting cement and shit like that?
Yeah, literally that. Like, I remember when I was a kid, we'd watch him train. He'd be pulling trucks, he'd be pushing cars, you know, lifting cars, doing all sorts of shit. And yeah, it was fun, man. It was fun to watch.
I imagine that that's almost an advantage for training because it's so different than weight training. You're using so much of your body weight in a different way, and you're making movements that you might have to make when someone's on top of you as opposed to just bend. Is it a different way of training, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting. It's kind of, I think it's quite relative to what we do, you know, like you're carrying, you're walking, you're sort of pushing, pulling, you know, you're not, nothing stack, you're not in a squat rack going up and down, you know. So.
And what kind of guy is your dad? Like being a guy, I always wonder what it's like when someone is that strong, where they can fight that well. Like, is he kind of a soft-spoken guy or does he take shit from nobody?
He's a big baby. Yeah. I think I could go slap him in the face right now and he wouldn't do anything. But to be fair, back in the day, like when we were kids, like growing up, oh man, he was crazy. But being a strong man, he was on the sauce a little bit. And he used to get the old rage. So like me and my brother used to mess with him. I'd kick his seat when he was driving, try and make him tick, you know, like try and make him go. Just to try and make him have the old roid rage.
Oh, I'm the sauce. Hysterical. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Jimmy, what'd you think? It's a marinara sauce.
No, I thought it was alcohol. When he said that, I thought on the sauce, I thought he meant like he drinks a lot. But then you said getting angry. I'm like, oh, okay.
So Arnold, you started training at 12 years old with boxing. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
And was that under the great Faraz Sahabi or was that somewhere else?
No, that was somewhere else. So I'm from England. I trained in a little, like a little village in England. So like a small little boxing gym.
Wow. And then when did you start working with Faraz Zahabi at TriStar?
So I won my UFC debut when I was 21.
Yes.
And I got a little bit of money and I wanted to go train at someone like the big gym. So after that, I've been there ever since. Yeah. I thought I want to go train with Faraz. I want to train with these guys out there. And yeah, basically up ship. I'm in Montreal pretty much.
That's great. What made you now? Faraz is a great mind for.
Yeah.
Warfare. How did you, was it because you were a fan of George St. Pierre or what made you pick out of all the MMA gyms out there? What made you pick TriStar?
Yeah. So a bit of that, like growing up, obviously everyone likes, GSP's the good role model. Everyone watched him. I used to do the prime times, you know, the countdown before the fights. And I had a list of gyms. I was going to try some other places, you know, like nice places in Miami, all these ones by the beach and all that. But I remember seeing George's stuff and he was training. It was like minus 30 outside. He was like going to the gym. It just looked like hard work, you know. It didn't look, you know, he weren't going to the beach. He weren't living the dream. It was rough. And I liked that. I didn't want to go somewhere. I didn't want to, you know, end up skipping training to go sit on the beach. So I wanted to go somewhere and, you know, it's going to be hard work.
So you went from gloomy England to the snowy Canada?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to get too comfortable. I like that.
Yeah, that's it, man. You can't get too comfortable, can you?
not in our business. No, not in the hurt business. I'll tell you, I remember when you first, it was a couple of years ago, when I saw you fight Gilbert Melendez, I go, wow. And you were 25. It was a couple of years ago. I'm like, I go, where'd this kid come from? Because Gilbert is a stud. So I'm like, all right, let me see Gilbert take out this young punk. And all of a sudden, wow, what the hell? It's so funny, Jimmy, how people just spring on the scene like that, you know?
Yeah.
How was that fighting Gilbert Melendez? That must have been a bit of being a fan of the sport. That had to be a little.
But so obviously I always wanted, you know how it goes in the business. You want to beat your veteran like that staple name to sort of put your name out there.
Yes.
And for me, that was what I wanted. I was like, right, they offered me the fight. I was like, yes, like this is what I want. This is how it's going to go. And, but yeah, there was moments a little bit like watching his fight, studying his tape. I was like, man, that's Gilbert Melendez. Like, I'm fighting Gilbert Melendez. I'm like, oh, that's cool. But yeah, it was obviously once you're in there, you know, you're not starstruck anymore. You're going to fight the man. But, yeah, it was pretty cool.
How long does it take you to get over that? Like, is it literally just the first punch or the second, the bell? Like, what is it that takes it before you clear your head and go, all right, I'm just fighting this guy instead of it's Gilbert?
Yeah. As soon as the contract's signed, really, like, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's how I, for me.
How did you take to the grappling? Because England's not known. Now it's a little different. They get caught up. But back in the, you know, I mean, they're not known exactly. If they don't have the wrestling in high school and all that type of thing. How did you take to the grappling? Because I mean, your stand-up looks phenomenal, but you know, you obviously you got the grappling down too. How did you first take to the grappling?
Yeah, you know what? Like, so when I was like 12, I was doing the amateur boxing. I think I was about 15. I started sort of mixing it up and doing a bit more jiu-jitsu, and it was hell. I was getting submitted day in, day out. Like, I was like a fish out of water, but you know, you get triangled 1,000 times, eventually you're going to sort of figure it out. And,
two arms in or two arms out, you're still figuring it out. Yeah.
That's it. But yeah, then again, like moving over the TriStar and like the grappling level there, you know, the guys are at Henzo's, they're with Danaha, these guys, you know, they were such a high level. So everyone was playing a different game, like leg locks and all these things, like things I hadn't seen in Europe before. And yeah, so it was like, again, being a fish out of water again and getting heel hooked 1,000 times a day, sort of learning how to do that. Yeah, it was good. It was hard.
Yeah, and you haven't fought in over a year now. Was that just because you had to straighten out a couple of paperwork issues, or like was there another? Is that the only reason you haven't fought?
Yeah, so just like I was supposed to fight. Well, I fought January last year. I fought Nick Lentz, and then I was like, right, it's time to get active. I want to fight some people, get busy. And then obviously, you know, COVID and all that happened. There was a good few months I didn't really go to the gyms were all shut. So I trained at home. I was training on my own. And yeah, my visa for the US expired. There was no events anywhere. So I was like, shit, they weren't doing any like renewals for the visas. And yeah, eventually I got it restored.
Is that, it expired? Yeah. Okay. So everything was shut for a while. Yeah, right?
Exactly. So it took a while for the embassy to open up so I could get my visa back.
I'll tell you, Nick Lentz ain't an easy guy I'll tell you, the experience you have in the octagon with these guys, Nick Lentz is not an easy guy to get a decision from because he makes it up phenomenal. So I'll tell you, you're 7-0 in the UFC, and yeah, you got a 4-0 in Yusuf.
Yeah.
Now, is it just give me whoever, or are you looking at this guy, another undefeated? He doesn't know what the defeats taste like. You know what
I mean? So the thinking with this fight, because I was supposed to fight Jeremy Stevens in November, but he got injured, unfortunately. So I ended up waiting for this. I wanted like a top 10 opportunity, you know, like you say, 7 wins in a row. But then we got offered Sadiq, and like I like the fight because he's kind of similar to myself. He's 4-0 in the UFC. He's got a lot of hype. You know, he wants to prove himself. And I think someone like this is more dangerous than your Stevens, you know. Like I've beat the old tough veterans, and now I need to show myself against a young sort of upcoming prospect like myself. So this is a bigger win than a staple name, you know?
Yeah, it's not always right. And it's not always where somebody, we were just talking to Marvin Vettori, and he's supposed to fight Darren Till, but now he's fighting Kevin Holland. Yeah. And Till is obviously ranked high, but it doesn't matter. It's still sometimes the name or what somebody is trying to do.
Yeah.
Means just as much in the overall picture than the fact if they're ranked or not. You're 16-1, he's 11-1. Yeah. So I mean, there's only 2 losses between you guys. Both incredible records. So yeah, this should be a great, great fight.
That's it, man. It's a tough test. I think this is a tougher test than a lot of the guys in the top 10. So I mean, I think it's for both of us, we both want to be in the top 5 picture, you know.
And it's so weird in the UFC too, because there's so many, like a guy like this who's like yourself, hungry. You're fighting another guy clawing his way up to the side of the top of the hill.
Yeah.
But then you fight Kevin Holland just ran into Derek Brunson, or Shabazzian ran into Derek Brunson. These fucking veterans who have seen everything. So like, there's just no easy fights. It's either a guy who is desperate to get to where you're trying to get, or a guy who has fought everybody and seen everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. And it's a gamble with the veterans. Sometimes, like, you know, they're there, they don't want to, you know, they're not just there to receive their paycheck, you know, they're there to prove they still got it. And, you know, that's, they got that experience and they've seen everything, they fought everyone, they're not fazed. Then you get the young, hungry guy, he hasn't experienced that, he's sort of reckless, you know, makes wild mistakes and stuff. So they both got their own risk-reward sort of thing.
I'll tell you, talking to Arnold here, it's making me think of that show I've been watching, Peaky Blinders.
Oh, yeah.
You ever watch that show?
Yeah, man, I love that show. Love that show.
There you go, Jimmy. I'm trying.
Yeah, yeah.
I only saw one episode. I didn't love it, but everyone is saying it's really good, so I probably should give it another shot.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great show.
Now, let's talk a little unrelated to MMA.
Give me
a hobby, a series you're watching, a book you've read. Give me something unrelated.
So I love watching Vikings. You know the show Vikings? I love Vikings, man.
The fucking best. The best. Yeah. It might be my number one series ever. It really it's up there, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, such a great show.
You know what? So I was watching it because so in England, where I'm from, it's East Anglia, like where the Vikings invaded. That's like where I am there. So I was watching it, and they're taking over my village. They're taking over my town. And I was like, "Fuck!"
You're probably rooting against those fucks.
Yeah, I know.
I'll tell you, it's such an interesting show because they get into the philosophy of the different gods, the pagan philosophy versus the Christians. And it's just it's deeper than you think. It's more than just a bunch of people with pickaxes. You know what
I mean? That's it. Yeah, it's interesting. I love the history of that stuff.
I'm telling you, it's such a good show. And when you're watching it, even the ones, even like you get to like really like care about some of these characters, but then you're looking at what they're doing. They're just attacking villages and slaughtering people. You're like, they're not exactly great. This is just their way, but it's not exactly great people just raping and pillaging. It's fucking crazy. But you end up caring about them, you know?
That's it, man. Yeah, it's a great show.
I'm glad you brought that one up.
I haven't watched it. I've seen it again one time, one episode, out of respect. I have to watch it. I can't commit. You got to be ready to commit to a series when there's six seasons of something. Like, I'm watching a Unabomber thing now. There's a few episodes. I'll be fucking done with it, you know, but I can't commit to any long series anymore. I just kind of have to fall into it. I like the true crime stuff because it's a few episodes and you're kind of finished, you know?
Yeah.
You like the miserable stuff.
I'm a miserable person, so it's perfect. Works out well. Is that what you kind of do in your, what do you do in your spare time besides watching? Is there anything you love to do that has nothing to do with MMA?
Yeah, so I do all sorts of shit, really. I like getting outdoors, but I got a Jeep, so I do a lot of off-roading. Oh. And so I'm always looking for trails. I get that thing stuck in some mud. Funny enough.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah. So like on the weekend, like after training, I've got, say, Saturday evening until Sunday, I can sort of relax. So I take my Jeep up into the mountains and I actually nearly rolled it over pretty bad a few weeks ago. So I was shitting myself. So up in Canada, it's all like obviously pretty cold a few weeks ago, all the ice, the mountains and all that. I was driving my Jeep up this mountain and I got stuck on like a cliff edge. And I was like, fuck, like this thing's going to roll. And all I was thinking, I was like, I'm fighting in 3 weeks. Like, last thing I want is this thing to roll while I'm in it. And I was just sitting there, like, I had to call some people to come help and eventually got it out. But yeah, it wasn't, maybe need some new hobbies because that was pretty risky.
How'd you get stuck on a cliff? Was it snow? Was it just mud right by the edge?
Yeah, so because it's all the snow and the ice, it's all like melting. So I'm going up the mountain and just lost grip basically. And I started sliding towards the edge.
Oof.
Yeah, I was just hanging over a cliff. And I was there with my missus. And she's like, I was like, yeah, you might want to get out of the car. And she's crying. And she's like, I don't want to lose you. I was like, oh. I'm like, yeah, it's all right. We'll be all right.
Oh, my goodness. I wouldn't want to lose you. Wow. Yeah,
it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
I don't think Jimmy would have handled it like that.
No, most women I've dated would have yelled at me, my purse. Hand me my purse. Ooh. As I was sitting in the fucking car. They would have been happy to see me go over the edge. Yeah, find a new hobby, dude. That's crazy. You're the first guy we've had on that said that.
Yeah.
And that's an extremely dangerous thing to do.
Yeah, I know. The worst thing is that the other thing I like doing is like mountain biking when the weather's nice, but like proper mountain biking, you know, like jumping and stuff. So,
that kind of like almost like BMX type shit. Not right?
Yeah, that's it. I love that shit, man. I love it. But yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work too good. You fall off, you're going to break your wrist or something. Yeah, can't fight. So
this is all young guy stuff. You know what
I
mean? Young, he's full of piss and vinegar, Jimmy. You know, he's fighting for a living. We're saying this is dangerous. The guy's going to be locked in a cage with another man.
That's right.
Listen, I'm really looking forward to this weekend, man.
Yep, great co-main event, great main event.
I really enjoy your fighting.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good talking to you, man. Have a great fight, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again. Anytime you want to come back, really nice talking to you, and excellent co-main event this Saturday night.
Thanks so much.
So good luck, Arnold, all right? We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Arnold Allen and Marvin Vettori. So we got half the co-main and half the main event. That worked out really nice.
Throwing a comedian, and it's a party. Perfect. In a couple of days, we got other stuff. Damian Maia, which rumored he's gonna be fighting Bilal Muhammad, and you know, Bilal was supposed to, you know, he got poked in the eye by
Leon Edwards, who is fighting Nate Diaz, by the way.
He wanted to fight him in a rematch, Bilal, but now he's got Damian Maia. But when he found out he wasn't gonna fight him, Bilal said, Bilal, I ruined it. Let me do that again.
Okay.
So when Bilal found out that he wasn't getting a rematch, you know, I'm lightheaded. Jimmy just fucking X'd out of the. I'm not even going to finish my humor. No, I'm not going to do it. Like, this is what I get. This is almost like you trying to act like a fighter. I'm not a comedian. I'm an idiot. I'm your friend. I try to make myself laugh, and sometimes I try to make you cringe.
You always make me happy.
Bilal don't like it.
By the way, Matt, since you don't object to people enjoying cannabis, I will say,
tell them about this, Chip. Jimmy.
Chip Chipperson has a 420 section on his website, and I'm going to let you, Matt, go and pick yourself a 420 shirt from Chip's website.
He has a 420 shirt, Chip? You sent me one, Jimmy. I'll wear that. What does it look like?
Okay, well, you got to pick one. You got to go to chipchipperson.com.
Now, is that because that marijuana is it legal now in New York? Is that what I'm hearing?
I believe so, yeah. Like, there's this not, it's decriminalized, legalized. Yeah, I believe. I don't want to get you arrested, but I think so.
Jimmy, I love it. I love it. And I love the fights this weekend. And I love a lot of things. And I love my little Jimmy Bird. Don't say it back.
Yeah, I will.
I will. When you're
ready. I love you too.
When you're ready. Jimmy, let's go. Anything to plug?
Nope, just the Chip's website. The new podcast is up. It's a really funny moment with Joe DeRosa, Ron Bennington. A really good episode. So, yeah, tune in. And we'll see you guys in a couple days.
See you in a couple days, Unfiltered Army.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.